Have you ever felt a piercing cold in your heart? Who is calling your name from deep in the woods? What monstrous silhouette walks on 2 feet and has giant antlers? Today, we test the believability of the Wendigo.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Yes, that's right. So, okay. So this is a pretty big episode for us.
I'm excited. This is a topic that I knew we were going to do it because it was a little bit pre-planned. But I remember reading about this in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the
really?
Book.
Yeah. Really?
It talks about being like carried away. It's like a family, and they walk outside in the snow, and they see like the footprints get further and further apart.
Oh, wow.
It's creepy. But then obviously, I think it's probably gotten more relevant from everybody playing Until Dawn.
Absolutely. That's such a... And also, there was a movie that came out last year about this.
Really?
I actually watched it for this.
What was it?
Antlers.
Oh, did we watch it?
No. It was on HBO.
Okay. Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, but I wanted to.
I'd recommend you watch it.
Yeah, I remember, I think I watched it, or I watched the previews, and I thought it was going to be about a skinwalker.
No, it was a Wendigo.
Okay, cool.
Also, was not scary. I watched it just fine.
Wow, okay, so it's not even a horror movie. Suspense? Can we call it suspense?
I'd say like light thriller.
Light thriller.
Real thriller.
Okay.
So it's not even a horror. Tyler, this is, we're recording this early.
Yes.
When this comes out, it will be about Christmas time.
Merry Christmas. It doesn't... we've had snow.
A little bit.
But it doesn't really feel like Christmas.
No, we don't have a white Christmas kind of snow out yet. And it's still... Spoilers. Thanksgiving hasn't even happened here. Not yet.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like... Thanksgiving's right around the corner, and it doesn't feel... I hope between now and when this episode comes out that I get that jingle in my step.
I think you will. And I did this special because I was like, what screams Christmas?
Wendigo.
Wendigo.
Well, once you do, if you're a podcast in the paranormal realm for longer than a year, you do Krampus.
Uh-huh.
You did a good job with the Yuletides last year.
We haven't
done
Krampus, though,
have we? Yuletides. Oh, was that?
We haven't done Krampus.
Oh, wow. I guess that is what we do then. We look at the main thing and we just don't do it.
We do. We duck. We duck
the Bermuda Triangle.
We dodge and weave.
I can't believe we did Benny and Barney Hill.
We had to do something main eventually.
Had to. Everyone was like, all right, we're out. We're like, wait. Aliens. All right, we're listening.
Yeah, no. I think probably that would probably be next Christmas.
Yeah.
Wendigo screams Christmas to me. I don't know why.
Just because it's snowy, I think. Because
yeah.
You think about them in the snow.
Mm-hmm. But here we are. So, Tyler, let's talk about the Wendigo. So let's talk about what this thing looks like.
Yes.
The description. According to native author Basil H. Johnston, quote, the Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emancipation, its desiccated skin pulled tightly over its bones, with its bones pushing over its skin, its complexion the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed down into its sockets. The Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody. Unclean and suffering some separations of the flesh, the Wendigo gave off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. End quote. So that is a fancy way of saying it looks like death.
So it looks like an old motherfucker that like is like dusty, doesn't eat anymore because they probably don't taste anymore. And they just are really skinny and their like eyes are sunken in and their bones are brittle. And
you nailed it. In, like, the least collegiate way you could.
Yeah. That was the abstract.
Yeah.
TLDR. Let's see. He was Basil. I'll be Paprika. Or maybe I'll be Tyler. What is it? The Parsley. I'll be Tyler Parsley.
Tyler Parsley Flakes?
Yeah. wait. You could be Charlie Bayleaf.
I like oregano, personally.
You could be oregano. It's easy for me to picture because I just picture Until Dawn.
Yeah.
And I was curious to see how closely it would resemble that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of does.
Well, there's like two versions of the Wendigo. We'll get more into the other version later.
Mm-hmm.
This one's kind of more like skeleton-like.
Yeah.
More like monstrous. I like how they're depicted in the Until Dawn version, actually. Some also say that the Wendigo has sharp claws and massive eyes like an owl. And others say it's more like a shrinking skeleton with gray skin.
Shrinking?
Yeah, like its skin shrinking around its skeleton.
I see. Not getting smaller.
Right.
It's, okay, I see. It's getting tighter.
Yeah.
What does it eat?
Humans.
It's keto. It's just human.
That is pretty keto. It's pretty fatty. Not lean meat. It's fatty meat.
That, high fat. High protein, high fat.
Absolutely.
I think, well, let's create an online blog about keto, but from the perspective of...
Of a Wendigo?
Of a Wendigo.
Of a Wendigo?
Yeah.
No need to use butter. The human flesh is already fat enough. Have you heard before? It's supposed to taste a lot like pork.
No.
Well, I feel like I heard this fact from my dad, which was like in cannibalistic tribes in South America, they would call us long pig.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, they call everyone long pig because it tastes like pork.
Did you ever buy one of their cookbooks?
No, I have not. I've not done that.
They're like, if you like your neighbors, you can substitute pork or ham.
If you don't, you're in luck. Some legends say that the Wendigo has a frozen heart. This isn't really the appearance, but some people say that it has a frozen heart and it becomes so hungry for human flesh that the Wendigo starts to gnaw off its own lips. So that's why they're depicted so often without lips, because they've eaten them off.
I might be a Wendigo. Got no lips. I like how he's on like the Grinch, like, and his heart freezes over.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it shrinks in size.
Yeah, they're the bad Grinch.
Bad Grinch.
All the Wendigo has to do is meet a Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And then they're cured.
Or you stab it through the icy heart. Actually, the spoilers about the movie Antlers. It did the opposite of that. Like, the Wendigo on the inside was hot.
Oh.
And, like, it was, like, almost on fire. It was actually really cool.
Hmm.
So, this monstrous creature is supposed to be over, some say, over 10 feet tall.
Dang.
Giant. I don't know what happens to the body. It just, like, elongates. Almost. Kind of wish could experience that once in my life, you know, just be 10 feet tall.
Yeah, but then you can't go back, right?
No.
You're pretty much signing up. You're signing up for knee and back problems.
Is that what they're signing up for? And cannibalism.
That too.
Yeah.
You rank the worst one. I don't know. We're just giving you the facts.
Just being a negative Nancy over here, I guess.
I would not want to be 10 feet tall. Like, do I want to be a little bit taller than I am? Sure.
I'm 10 feet's too much.
Not looking to be 10 feet tall.
No. Also, it becomes such a monster at some point. Is it even cannibalism, you know?
What?
Like, it becomes so monstrous.
Oh, it's not like a human eating a human. It's a monster eating a human.
Yeah.
It's like, is it even that bad?
It's pretty bad.
We got some NBA centers looking at the people on the bench like, pretty tasty.
Some versions describe, so this is the other version. They describe the version of Wendigo as having animal-like ears, horns like a deer, and sunken or glowing eyes.
Ooh.
So glowing eyes, giant antlers. And
is,
like,
is that like Antlers, the movie?
Kinda, yeah. Well, Antlers, the movie, kind of played with both ideas. Like, they started as like the emaciated, kind of like really skinny, monstrous razor teeth.
Yeah.
And then what happens is it bursts out of that person and becomes this antler monster.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I liked what they did. I thought it was an interesting spin. So you get both versions.
I wonder, so when you say animal ears, is it just like whatever animal you want?
No, ears? I think it's pretty much deer.
Okay.
Yeah. Mostly deer. There's a lot of deer imagery associated with Wendigos, which I feel like a lot of bad shit's happening to deer. Between the not deer and the Wendigo, it's like, what deer do?
Dude, I see so many deer. I started posting in our Discord on my walks.
Yeah.
One literally flew past me so fast, I wasn't able to get a picture of it.
Wow.
Yeah, they're speeding around.
They're circling you.
That's okay. I'm down with the deer.
So the Wendigo is said to have superhuman strength and stamina. It allows them
and an appetite.
It allows them to stalk their prey through the woods and then devour them. They can move so fast, they are like the wind. And like the elves in Lord of the Rings, they can travel on snow, on top of snow. So like they don't sink into it.
Yeah, because dude, like me, if I was a monster or anything coming after you in the snow, I would look drunk. Like just
come back.
I just remember going to class in Akron and trying to walk to your classroom. And like if it was like more than 4 or 5 inches, I'm so uncoordinated. Walking on snow is not easy for me.
And that is where we end our description of the Wendigo. Next, we have one of my favorite sections, history. Okay, so now we're moving on to what's an episode about a monstrous creature.
Without a little history.
Without a little splash of history.
A splash. I like that. Pinch.
A pinch.
A pinch of history.
A dash, dearie. So like I said, we can't understand the Wendigo without understanding a little bit about the people that first told this legend.
Sure.
The Algonquin people most notably lived along the eastern northern coast of the central continental coasts of the Great Lakes and the Atlantic Ocean. Is that confusing to you?
Yeah, very.
Geographically?
Yeah. Well, you said like northeastern, western coast of the Great Lakes, eastern.
So think Canada?
Yeah.
Against the Atlantic.
Uh-huh.
And then continental to the Great Lakes along those coasts as well.
Okay.
Does that make a little more sense?
So not the Pacific.
Right.
So like the Great Lakes and then Canada. And then
so like
where does Canada touch the Atlantic Ocean? Right? On the right side. It must be on the right.
I mean,
the left is Pacific.
Then yes, it touches it the same place the American touches it.
Oh, because Niagara Falls and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like it's inverted because it's north. Well, the world is a sphere. If you keep going, north does become south. And
yeah, it's all basically the same thing.
West does become east anyway.
Although there's a big difference between South Alaska and Southeast Alaska.
There is indeed, as we found out. According to the anthropological evidence, the Algonquins lived in units of several hundreds, and they were led by a chief. They would move with the seasons, and they would change their dwellings based off weather. So, like, big, long houses for the winter, and, like, kind of, like, smaller, teepee-ish-like houses for the summer.
Okay.
The Algonquins were fishermen and hunters, and they would use spears, bows, and arrows. The Algonquins also practiced a religion that had its faith in spirits based on earth. Minuin, or Path of the Heart, is what the traditional religion was called. I think I pronounced that right.
Okay. You can only give it your best bet.
Yeah. And so that's a little bit about the people. There's obviously more. There's a lot more to it. But that's like a brief summary of the Algonquin people, where they lived and what they did.
Okay.
And I wanted to mention that part about the Minuin, because that is, I think, kind of where the Wendigo comes from a little bit, almost religion, because it is a spirit, right?
Is it a spirit?
It's not a question. It's a spirit.
Okay.
Sorry. The Wendigo is a spirit, and most things come from spirit. It's like a spiritual thing that happens with the Wendigo.
So it's a spirit that transformed the human body.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Is it almost kind of like a possession in a way where you like, you do, I know we haven't gotten to it yet. At least I don't think we have, if I remember correctly. But you do certain acts, and does that call upon the spirit?
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. So we're about to get into the lore.
Yeah.
Of the Wendigo. But you said possessed, and that's actually something that comes up a lot in this, is possession by Wendigo.
Well, I think you need to know that there's a spirit, because otherwise, like,
it's not just some cryptid out there.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a spirit.
Yeah, because there's a transformation process, and it's not mm-hmm. like a werewolf where you get bit, right? Like,
right. This is one time. Oh, no, this is permanent. It's almost like an STD.
But see, like, this is, there's a, I think I've said this on this podcast, there's a billboard in downtown Cleveland that it had, you got to catch them all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was an STD thing. Yeah. Imagine that with Wendigo.
You don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to catch them all. But see, I think when you think of a Wendigo, you think of this creature automatically. And for a second, it took me back that when you said, you know, it being a spirit, but when you really think about it, which we haven't gotten to yet, but that is, I think you need to know that. And it makes more sense when you consider it that way.
So some of the lore. This is a quote from Elizabeth McCauley from Backstory. Quote, among many Native peoples, the Wendigo remains a warning against greed. End quote. Okay, so because this comes from greed, that's where the spirit comes from. Part of the reason the Wendigo story has been spread out is because there's not just one Algonquin tribe. There are many that fall under this name, and they were very spread out over a large Canadian area. So, like, different stories from different tribes, basically. It's kind of like a telephone game, right? Information spreads over word of mouth, and the legend itself shifts and changes. According to the HowStuffWorks.com, a Wendigo baits its prey by making shrieks in the forest alongside attempts of mimicking human voices to lure people closer.
Imagine a shriek being what lures you in. You hear screaming, you're like, oh, I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah, well, it's like, well...
The voices, though, yeah.
Well, even, like, animals being hurt in the woods, some people would go check that.
Yeah, I guess it depends.
Yeah.
Depends on the nature of the shriek.
Yeah.
I like how it's greed, too, where it's, like, that's what it's based on. Because I feel like in Canada, greed is, like, attributed to the Wendigo. And in America, it's like, that's the American dream. The Wendigo would have a field day in the United States.
Yeah.
It'd be like,
the Wendigo would be on... Capitol Hill, or not Capitol Hill, what's it called? In New York, the Market District.
Oh,
Wall Street.
Wall Street, yeah.
Yeah, the imagine the Wendigo as the Wolf of Wall Street, like, bye, bye, bye.
He just gets a job there, though. He's like, this is great money. It's actually very profitable.
The Wendigo's like, buy more stocks. Ah, eat people. And you'll see some of the stories that we have that it's part of the lore that the Wendigo actually mimics faces and the voices of the ones that you love. It could do that.
It can mimic faces.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting. I mean, the whole thing's interesting, but I didn't know it could mimic faces.
Mm-hmm. It also can change its look a little bit as well.
Do you think it would... I would hope it would try to, like, look a little better.
You know what I mean?
Like, if it was mocking me, mimicking me, like, I hope it gives me a job.
See, like... You're like an idealized version of yourself.
Yeah, like maybe after I spent a couple months in the gym.
I see.
I think it's the least. If it's gonna steal my identity, I think that is the least it can do.
Is that Tyler dazzling with abs over there in the forest?
Well, looks like Tyler had a good summer.
And it's important to know, like we said, the Wendigo is a malevolent spirit. So it's either a creature that lives in the heart of the woods or a spirit that can possess and mutilate those that become ensnared in it. So Wendigos come from greed and fear and cannibalism. It's a taboo amongst the Algonquins to eat people.
And not just the Algonquins.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, they can claim that, but they can own that, but most people aren't really
down with it. Aren't, like, cool with it, yeah.
Maybe Dahmer is just trying to become a Wendigo.
He did live in Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, where's the Wendigo there?
I just want to be a Wendigo. A Wendigo.
I go where the Wendigo.
So that fear particularly came from when hunting parties became trapped in cold and snow in the north, and all they had left was human flesh.
Mm.
And that's when the Wendigo spirit would attach itself.
Just start assaulting some people.
Yeah. So this is actually from TBS News. Quote, the tale goes, the first ever Wendigo was once a lost hunter. During a brutally cold winter, the man's intense hunger drove him to cannibalism. After feasting on another human's flesh, he transformed into a crazed man-beast, roaming the forest in search for more people to eat. End quote. And they also had another quote about the origin of the Wendigo. I'd not heard this one before. Quote, in another version of the story, the first Wendigo is said to have been a warrior who made a deal with the devil. In order to save his tribe, he gave up his soul and was transformed into a Wendigo. End quote.
Mm.
Now, it reminds me a little bit of the Wampus Cat. A little bit.
Yeah, with the one story, right, where she chose to become a Wampus Cat.
To save her tribe.
Yeah, Wampus, they both start with W, too.
They do. Know?
Maybe not that different between a Wampus Cat and a Wendigo.
It's a little different. Yeah.
I think it's almost got that urban legend-y, like, don't do bad things or else this will happen.
Yeah, I like the first one better because it really hits the greed element of it and the taboo of eating humans. Because otherwise, the Wendigo seems like a pretty chill guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, it's like a, it's kind of like a metaphor, right? Because, like, if you kill and eat your own people, you already are a monster on the inside.
Right.
So now you just are seen as one on the outside, too.
So next I have a historical encounter.
Mm.
So this is a story according to Raw Vision. One of the first and most powerful stories is about Swift Runner. Have you heard this name before, Swift Runner?
No.
I'd heard this story before. It's intense. So let's get into it.
How old is this?
In the 1800s. I think it's 1839. A member of the Cree Nation, he was married and had six children. In the early 1800s, when Swift Runner lived, Europeans had already eradicated the wild buffalo from the area as an attempt to drive the indigenous people off their land. Unfortunately, Swift Runner also fell under the spell of habitual whiskey and tobacco use. He had been causing a lot of trouble in the village, and thus was struck out of his home. He took his mother, brother, wife, and six children out into the dead of the winter to hunt for food. In the spring, the only one to return was Swift Runner. He had said that the others had starved, but he didn't look emaciated enough to have come close to the same fate. He was placed in custody and was told to take the authorities to the campsite. He did. And when he did, he confessed killing, cooking, and eating his whole family. He claimed he was possessed by the Wendigo. That didn't save him. He was hung for his crimes at Fort Saskatchewan.
It's intense. I don't. It's not the same thing at all, but the visual of him leaving, which his brother is probably like, yo, what? And they all got eaten. But,
yeah, by him.
It gives me a visual of that really, really, really drawn out long shot of the family leaving in The Witch.
Oh, you've seen that movie.
It's like where, I think it's the little girl. She's on the back of the wagon. And it's just a super long out drawn shot of her and her family leaving because they were banished. I don't remember why. It's been a minute since I've seen the movie. But that's what it made me think of.
It made me think of the cartoons where the other cartoon character looks at the one and sees a drumstick.
Oh, yeah. Not necessarily the eating part.
Maybe because I'm a child, but.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Cartoons do not shy away from the idea of cannibalism.
No, but it's a gag. Everything's a gag. But that's a story of Swift Runner, which I think is a really good. Because that's, we said, he was possessed by the spirit of the Wendigo.
Mm.
Wasn't actually transformed, just possessed.
And his name is Swift Runner?
Yeah, Swift Runner.
Should have been Tummy Grumbles.
So with that, let's move into our encounters.
Listen up, Bizarros. We sneak it in an episode every now and then, but we always have some type of candle burning or scent on when we record.
Definitely. It keeps us relaxed and focused when talking about the spookies.
Plus, and let's be honest, no one wants stinky or stale air, especially since we're cooped up inside with the window shut these cold days.
Well, just like a poltergeist, we are ramping things up.
That's right. We're excited to tell you about Scent Air. Scent Air has over 25 years of experience scenting stores, event spaces, and beyond.
Now you can shop online and scent it. And scent the mood in your home or business.
I get it. Scent Air is also mobile friendly, which is super convenient. You can control the intensity of the fragrance, your scent schedule, and even adjust the color right from your smartphone.
Scent Air diffusers are sleek and fill your space with vivid fragrance for up to 300 hours.
That's like 2 weeks, by the way.
That's a lot.
Plus, all of Scent Air's more than 60 fragrances are phthalate-free, cruelty-free, and safe for kids and pets.
Try luxury home fragrance trusted by the pros by going to scentair.com and using the promo code BIZARRE for 25% off your first order.
Again, that's scentair.com and use the promo code BIZARRE for 25% off your first order.
So Wendigo encounter number one.
How many are there?
Two.
Okay, that's...
This is from Reddit.
Yes!
They're both from Reddit. There were so many encounters. I was like, this might be another like encounter.
That's good. You should keep the ones that you found and put them in like the drive or something and then set us up for another one.
We could probably do another encounter like
episode for Wendigos. Yeah. I would love that, to be honest.
Quote, I've been debating on sharing this story for a while with anyone outside my small circle of people that were there, but I want to share my experience in hopes that it saves someone's life or gives understanding of what someone else has experienced. Late fall of 2010, in northern Canada, I went deep into the wilderness with my father and my eldest brother to hunt for moose. We left early in the morning, and just before sunrise, trying to cover as much distance as possible before nightfall. We decided to set up camp just over halfway to our destination. My father figured that we'd make the rest of the journey tomorrow. Well, when everyone bedded down for the night, I decided to go grab some firewood and relieve myself down the bank from the river, just out of reach of the light from the campfire. Out from the tree line, about 15 yards away, I could hear rustling in the bushes. I watched the area where I heard the noise and focused on that spot. I felt kind of funny, dizzy, or lightheaded, and I could smell this putrid stink like old milk or rotten food. Then I saw the tree start to morph and move ever slightly and began to take shape of a head and slight facial features. My eyes began to adjust to the darkness, and along the tree line, I could hear this voice coming from there. I recognized the voice, sounding like one of my relatives who had recently passed. The face took shape of my relative. "Hello?" they said. "I missed you. Come see me." I smiled and stepped forward a bit, but stopped to analyze the situation. My relative's face stopped smiling and became emotionless. The skin began to turn pale and to peel away. Chunks of flesh from their cheeks began to fall away, and I felt shock and fear overwhelm my body. I couldn't move. I couldn't make sense of it at all, so I started to back away and make my way back to the camp. And I didn't realize at the time that I had been walking toward the voice, and I was further away from the firelight. The voice became angry and began shouting at me and said, "Come here." So I turned and ran away. But as I looked back one more time, I saw the most disgusting thing I had ever seen. It was rotting flesh, a gnawing bone, caved in eyes and hollow chest cavity. This humanoid creature was tall and super thin. I ran as fast as I could, trying to yell for help, but the fear had just made my voice quiet and raspy. I ran along the riverbank, and I could hear the heavy breaths and stomping feet from the thing right behind me. I made it to the top of the riverbank, but it grabbed a hold of my leg as I jumped. I gripped and tore the grass, trying to lift myself, and yelled as loud as I could. Then finally my voice came back and I yelled that, "Someone has my leg." My brother woke up and ran over to where I was, and he pulled me back and took me to the fire. I was terrified, trying to explain what I saw and that it looked like my relative, but not. I was trying to convince them that I wasn't seeing things, but my brother nodded his head and said, "I saw it. I know." That solidified it. He acknowledged that it was real. We stayed up all night after that, rifles loaded and close by. We packed up when the sun was coming up and went back home. We haven't shared the story with anyone out of fear of being labeled as crazy or liars. I've had nightmares and I couldn't sleep for months afterwards. I would see things, dark figures, look in my window or hear whispers when I was walking home at night. Eventually, I would see dark figures daily. I went to a medicine man, shaman, for help, but I've learned that these ceremonies only relieve things temporarily. A friend had given me everything from protection pouches to crystals, and I found out there's a strong possibility that what I encountered was a Wendigo. I learned that if you encounter one and survive, it attaches itself to you like a parasite. I learned it can only do this if it touches you, which it did. Ever since that night, I've been on edge. When I enter any forest or wooded area, which sucks because I love being outside and in nature, now I always feel like I need to keep my back against something while I'm out in the wild. Anyway, make your own conclusions about this. Stay safe. End quote.
It's a very good story.
Yeah.
It's a really good story. I didn't know that, and this is just one perspective, one tale, but that the idea that those like medicine man rituals and things are temporary.
I don't know. I had
they give found... him, they give him a little Tylenol. It's like a little temporary relief.
You know what's funny about Tylenol? Tylenol comes from nature.
Yeah.
It comes from trees.
Medicine men.
Well, yeah.
Do you think Tylenol has any chance against the Wendigo?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Maybe if it's smashed up and mixed with stuff.
Benadryl.
I don't think it's true that it's only temporary. I don't remember seeing that anywhere. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe he knows more about the stuff than I do. I don't. It's a crazy story though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Could you imagine seeing the face of someone who just passed? And that, like, you realize you're walking toward it.
Yeah, it. There's so many connections between this and the stories that we've heard with like a skinwalker.
Yeah,
the description of the face like melting away, like it has that innocence where it draws you in and you become like hypnotized.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it goes emotionless, and then that's where you kind of feel like this isn't the normal. This isn't who I'm supposed to be talking to.
Yeah, it's like mad. You're breaking the spell.
Yeah, and then so you have that realization that this isn't right. This isn't normal. And I really like the way they described like chunks of flesh falling off the face.
Mm-hmm.
Really good descriptors. Don't know how believable it is, but it's a very good story nonetheless.
Absolutely. We're very well told.
Yes.
So this is our next encounter. It's also from Reddit. Great story. Great story places.
You have to go to Reddit. It's yeah. Not a real Believing the Bizarre episode if there's not an encounter from Reddit.
It's special there.
It is. It is special. It's the very least, like, Believing the Bizarre is made for entertainment, and so is Reddit. So it's just a pair made in heaven. Yeah. It's like wine and cheese.
Or, or Oreos and milk.
Would you rather be Oreos or milk? Which one do you want Reddit to be?
I want to be, this is so weird, but I want to be milk.
Really?
I like milk.
Almond milk?
No. Although, chocolate almond milk.
Chocolate almond milk, all right. Yeah.
Number two. Quote, I live in the northern part of Michigan. I used to live with my ex-boyfriend's family. They've always believed in things like the Wendy Boys, which is a term people call Wendigos. They don't want to say the name. Yeah. Anyway, as they are native and also live in native lands. I never really believed in them until one night I saw one. My ex and I were driving back from a party in the next town over, and we finally got to the road his house was on, which is a dead end. We were probably about 150 feet away from the edge of the road when I spotted what I thought was a deer. I got excited because I love deer, but when we got close to this, I could see it was not what I thought. It was about 7 feet tall and standing on its hind legs. Its head looked like longer, and its snout was stretched. The fur was matted, and chunks of it were missing. You could see its rib cage. It was so skinny, and it almost had human hands with claws and long feet. But the most terrifying thing about it was the way it turned its head and looked at us. Its eyes beamed a bright yellow from the headlights, hitting them, and just stood there looking at us. I felt my whole body go cold as this thing stared at us. I couldn't move or look away. The only thing I could say was, "What the fuck is that?" My ex eventually snapped out of it and put the Jeep into reverse, all the way back out of the road. We drove 70 miles back to the town we came from. We ended up meeting my best friend, and I was telling her I saw something absolutely terrifying out by the house. And before I could explain what I saw, she explained it to a T, saying that she'd seen one passing the road where we lived before. That really solidified what my ex and I had saw was real. Living out there after that, we would only hear it running around the house, and we'd see its eyes from the tree line. Then I moved, and I haven't seen it since. End quote.
A little bit of not deerish vibes.
Yeah.
Also, it's amazing how you pick up a story and you place it somewhere else in the world and it carries different meaning. Remember when we were talking about Jin,
mm-hmm.
and you told the story about the person in the car? And yes. And we were like, if that story happens in America, we probably think it's like a demon or like, you know, the devil possessing someone.
Yeah.
It's demonic.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because you tell that story and based on where it's at in Michigan, you know, naturally they think it's a Wendigo, but you pick up that story, that encounter, and you place it in New Mexico. And I feel like all of a sudden we're talking about a skinwalker.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, different tribes, different.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying, it is this or it was that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
well, we can't do that.
No, we never could. I'm just saying it's like when you hear a story, because you're primed, like you know the context of this episode. So, you know, every single encounter that you hear, you are already painting the picture that it's a Wendigo. It's just like if, you know, it's almost like a quiz where it's like if we give you the encounter, you tell us what the entity is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't tell you a location and you just hear that, you might be bouncing between a couple mm-hmm. different entities.
Like, oh, it could be this, could be this.
Yeah.
Or like if we told you like it lives in the water, it's got a long neck, you might be like, oh, it's Nessie. Or it could be a lake monster from somewhere else.
Yeah.
There's so many of those.
There's a lot.
But I really liked about this story that the details are in this one.
Mm-hmm.
There's great descriptors in this one. The antlers is what stick out to me.
But very, very different from the last encounter.
Yes. Well, skinny, emaciated, but also described differently. Very differently.
Yeah, one is like a skeleton. Well, yeah. But you said it earlier in the episode how there's like two variations.
Yeah, there are variations. Like I said, it's like the telephone game. Like this legend spreads out and becomes different.
But it is. It's not a misinterpretation. Like it is.
Right.
Because you were saying like the movie Antlers, like this person saw something more similar to that, where Encounter One was more similar to like Until Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But the same thing. So let's move on to the discussion. Tyler, I want to stop the episode. And at the time of this recording, I want to thank our new patrons, Paige, Zion, and Belle. Thank you, everyone who's joined our Patreon. Tyler, if you don't mind, can you give our patrons, our new ones, a little heads up of what they might be getting in the Patreon?
Absolutely. Which, first of all, hopefully when you sign up, you got to look a little bit through the tiers and see what we got going on. But we have a ton of bonus content, a ton of extra stuff, which include ringtones, that music you hear at the beginning, that music you hear at the end of every episode. It can be your ringtone. It can be what wakes you up in the morning. It can be, you know what, let's leave it in a positive light. Let's say you're working hard, right? It can be that ringtone, that alarm that sets you up, that goes off and lets you know it's time to get up and maybe make a cup of coffee or to take a walk. Use it positive. We don't want to have negative connotations.
Yeah, it's like
with
a weekend wake up.
Yeah.
Only for the weekend.
We have wallpapers. We have poll opportunities. We have quizzes. We have Do You Believe the Bizarre, where we play games with producer Ben, where he tells us stories. Some are real, some are fake, and Charlie and I have to guess which is which. We have Bizarre News, where we talk about real news stories happening in real time, what we think about it. Not stories necessarily, but weird, basically news, things that people are reporting in different cities, and we have commentary on that. Netflix movies we watch together, Google Hangouts. We send a t-shirt to our dedicated tier that you can only get by being in the Patreon. We added Beyond the Bizarre, where Charlie and I just kind of talk about things happening in our life. Theatrical readings, director's cuts. There is so much bonus content. We love doing it every single month. And if you like the podcast, if you're caught up and you realize I got more commutes, I have more walks, I have more things I want to do, I want to keep listening. We have a ton, and it goes back to May of 2021.
Yeah, listening back to that, I was like, man, that's a lot of stuff.
It is. But we love it, though. It's good stuff. But yeah, you go back. It goes all the way back to May 2021. So when you join, all that opens up. So you have at least like a year and a half of content to keep you busy.
You also have a little bit more of this episode. So let's get back to the discussion. Okay, Tyler. So I just talked a whole lot about Wendigos. What are you thinking? What interests you the most about the Wendigos? What part kind of fascinated you?
I like the descriptor of it. I'm just being completely transparent. And I always do this like prefacing, because it's like, let me use the analogy of true crime, because a lot of people relate to that. A lot of people love true crime. Love true crime.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, but to love true crime, you have to almost kind of admit that you like grisly murders, right?
Yeah.
There's like, and I'm not putting you on blast for like, I mean,
yeah, no.
I'm not putting anyone on blast. I'm just saying, if you like true crime, maybe you just like the mystery aspect of it, but you're also in tandem saying, I like hearing about grisly murders and people going missing and stuff like that, which are generally bad things. I like skinwalkers, even though I understand that they're not good things, right?
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated by skinwalkers. Wendigo are like the, it's like when you're playing an old video game and there's like skin one, but then, you know, if player two wants to be the same character, you're in skin B. Where it's just they're wearing a different outfit, like in Tekken or something. And I know it's like, I know that there's completely different tribes, and I know there's different, like skinwalkers, you do taboo things, where Wendigo is more like cannibalisms, or you call upon the spirit. But like, I picture it as like skin B for that, like fighter player.
It kind of makes sense that I'd watch a skinwalker Wendigo fight.
So I naturally like it. I like the antler aspect of it.
That's the most intimidating part to me, is like the idea of it's going from like all fours standing with these giant antlers.
But even the other descriptor of it being gaunt, with like, I keep saying like how it looks in Until Dawn, but like that,
that's
like
a really good
like
visual
bony
for it.
Bony, where it's like the bones are like pushing the skin to their limits.
Yeah,
it's
almost
tight.
Like breaking it.
Yeah, like that's terrifying too. And I like, it's like it's an, not an omen, it's punishment, right? It's like, don't leave your bed at night because something's going to grab you, or like, don't wander around at night because,
oh, it's like a cautionary tale, right?
It's a cautionary tale where it's like, don't eat your friends or else you're going to become Wendigo. I know it's deeper than that, but I like that there's a little bit, I like that there's a story attached to it. It's not like this thing exists just because, kind of like the Chupacabra, right? It's like, and nothing wrong with Chupacabra. It is, you know, whether it's from here or it's alien or it was an experiment. This is like, you have to do these bad things to call upon, or you might be hunted by it because you're nearby or you're in the area. Like, I like that there's some backstory to it. So as an element of how it looks, the way that I've interacted with it in entertainment avenues between video games and books and short stories, and like the legend behind it, what they do, how they look, I really like Wendigo. For what it's worth.
I've been kicking my feet about this episode for such a long time, because this is a topic I didn't want to do because I loved it so much.
Yeah, because it's, and this isn't the case because there's so many encounters, but, and I've used this analogy before, but when you're in a band and you have a good song, you can play it every night.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a podcast and you have a really good topic,
it's one and done.
It's kind of one and done.
Yeah. But I love this topic. And it's starting to get colder here already. Like it was
snowy today.
Less than 30 degrees as I came in here.
I work with people from California and they were like, it's a little cold. I'm like, hey, let me send you a picture. I sent my manager a picture in my backyard and it's snowy.
But this is just like, it's starting to set in, like the cold.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we're probably not going to be cannibalistic.
Hopefully not. I get hungry sometimes. I feel like, you know, intermittent fasting, you know, you get hungry sometimes.
But I really like the details of the stories.
Oh, you mean the encounters?
Well, just the story of the...
The story of the Wendigo.
Wendigo.
Yeah.
Especially that historical one.
Yeah.
Because nothing really happened to the guy. He just kind of lost his mind and killed his whole family.
It's the horror that you don't see, right? It's like the suspense. It's like an old school horror movie where all the creepy, terrible, bad things happen off camera, which is in certain ways, like a gore movie shows you everything and leaves nothing to the imagination, but you watch it and you wince and you're like, oh my God, that's crazy. But it's like when someone dies off screen or something bad happens off screen, it's your imagination is what's left to create it.
Well, it's
and
like,
it can be just as bad.
Like, did he kill his whole family at one time or did he like do it slowly and then just like,
yeah, their deaths are only limited by your imagination.
I think the only thing about the Wendigo that makes it hard to believe or go believable completely on is the fact that there are like two kind of versions of it.
Yeah, it's in that way, it is similar to the Chupacabra where, you know, what's the difference between somebody who becomes a Wendigo with antlers and is deer-like to a certain extent versus somebody who becomes like that gaunt. And there could be factors that we don't know that, you know, obviously there are certain things tribes... Like the story of the Wendigo that we know that is told online and in certain books and stuff could be different than what tribes know.
I would say those cultures could be very much a bastardization of the pureness of what they have.
And also like you were saying about the telephone game or like Lost in Translation, like, you know, they like if you spoke to somebody from that tribe, they might be able to be like, hey, this is why it is what it is.
Yeah. Like even much like so like with the Chupacabra, like. Maybe that makes more sense that it's more unbelievable because it's more modern than this. But because of how it's been spread throughout, like, the pop culture, maybe it's just there's an element or two missing that we just can't know.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say I loved the encounters, but they don't sway me one way or the other.
I don't think they are. They're just good stories.
They're really good stories. The first one was written... Sometimes I feel like I can tell when whether it's embellishment or like somebody's writing something for like there's intention behind it and the way it's done feels very theatrical. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying people can't have real experiences that are theatrical, but it felt more like a really well done creative piece.
I agree. It felt, you know, remember we did the caves or the catacombs of Paris.
Yeah,
it felt a little bit like that story.
Yeah, where it's like a really, really good story, but am I going to believe it to be 100% true?
I don't think so. But overall, the Wendigo, there are so many encounters with the Wendigo, too.
Are there?
Yeah, there's a lot of encounters with the Wendigo. I picked and I chose, because they're all really long, too. So I picked some that I liked.
Yeah.
We could do a whole episode on encounters.
I anticipate doing that.
It might happen, probably.
Because I want to revisit it. I do.
Yeah. Right now, God help me. I'm going to go believable. The Wendigo.
I am skeptical.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because you go so believable skinwalkers.
Yeah, I feel like skinwalkers is more fleshed out for me. The encounters they felt like good stories. They didn't ground it for me more. And like these two varieties of Wendigo make it less like the fact that there's like different variations without an understanding of why. You know what I mean?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is a skinwalker? What's the tribe that they are typically associated
Navajo.
With? Navajo. Do you know the range of Navajo, like where they're at in the United States?
I believe it was southwestern, but I don't know the exact regions.
Okay. No. I just know that inside the Algonquin is a lot of different kind of tribes. Like Cree is one. I can't name the rest.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of different tribes inside of Algonquin. It's like if you're European, you could be French or German or Australian. Not Australian. Austrian. There's many different types of Europeans. It kind of feels like the same way to me for Algonquins. So maybe to me, that's why there's different kinds of Wendigos.
Or why there's different versions of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's kind of why I want to do another encounter episode. Like, I want to revisit again this later. And that's not me saying I don't like it. Like I said, I like Wendigo. Like, I love the story of the Wendigo. I like it in entertainment and in film and in games. Just whether or not I believe it. And I know that it's a disconnect between that and what and me going believable on Skinwalkers, but that is how I'm feeling right now.
Thank you for listening to this episode on the long-awaited and beautiful Wendigo.
It's such a good story. It's so terrifying. It's okay. So like, I'm the farthest skeptical away from unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, it's closer to viable than unbelievable. And it's so funny because right now that's how I feel. But if you like in Roller Coaster Tycoon, how you can pick up people and place them. Yeah, if you were to pick me up right now and drop me in like the woods in that area,
I
heard a noise, mm-hmm. it would jump up that scale.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like I'm doing that because I'm forcing us to talk about them again.
I'm okay with it. I want to talk about them again.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see what people think about it and how people were introduced to it.
Yeah.
Whether it's the short stories, you know, some people might have heard about them first from Antlers or, you mm-hmm. know, Until Dawn.
I wonder what my first venture was. I don't remember. I don't know.
I think it's tough too because Wendigo are pretty popular. And I feel like the more popular something is, the harder it is to go less than believable or at least viable. But it's like I feel like we felt this with Annabelle.
Yeah.
Where it's just like people probably expect it to be believable because it's such a big topic. But we were both like,
yeah.
But it's such a good story. I you know, the encounters are great. It's everything I want in an encounter. It's somebody outside in the woods seeing something terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff I consume. Yeah. I love it.
But this was a lot of fun to do.
So I hope everyone is going to have a great Christmas. This is the last episode before Christmas time. If you celebrate,
mm-hmm.
if you give presents, if you like candy canes and snow.
It's like that old Saint Nick.
Creeping in you.
Creeping in you.
Your chimney.
Oh, okay.
Creeping in your chimney. Eating your sweets.
Call out the SVU on Santa Claus.
There's days outside of Christmas I'd be okay if he came in and ate my sweets. They're just, when they're in the house, it's free game.
You can just call me up, dude.
Dude, you should put skim milk out or something. So you just hear, ugh, and in the middle of the night.
Anyway, you like hearing about the Wendigos and the crazy stories associated with them. If you're on Apple, give us a review and 5 stars. It helps a whole lot. If you're on Spotify, just leave a 5-star. That would be amazing.
It's a little late for this, but if you're looking to give your favorite Bizarro a gift, we do have merchandise. We got shirts. We got mugs. We got sweaters. We got hoodies. We got phone cases. We got posters. You know,
it's a little late. So like you'd have to print out the receipt and like package up the receipt.
Yeah, well, you might, maybe you'll, Or, you know, if you're sending a gift to somebody who you're not going to see in the holiday times, or if it's that, you know, the 20th and you're like, my so-and-so family member keeps asking me what I want. I don't know what to tell them. Just tell them I believe in the Bizarre shirt.
Yeah. Okay. I
don't think there's anything else. What, Charlie, what'd you ask for Christmas?
A red rifle. The hell's it called? A Red Ranger BB rifle.
They're making, there's a sequel.
From
a
Christmas Story. There's like 25 sequels.
No, there's not. There's none.
There's like a couple sequels, isn't there?
There's none, but they're making another one right now.
Oh, cool.
With the same guy who played Ralphie.
Oh.
He's like 40 or something.
That's weird.
The dad died, which is sad.
I did know that.
But yeah, it's probably going to be way more popular when this comes out than it is right now when we're talking.
Fragile,
yeah.
Italian.
So you didn't ask him for anything for?
I can't think of.
I can't either, so I'm glad you can't. Because
PlayStation 5.
You want a PlayStation 5?
Yeah.
Just to look at it? Because you don't got time for a PlayStation 5.
Well,
you can use it as a coaster for your drinks while you're editing.
It's real pretty.
It is pretty. Yeah. Cool. I hope everyone has a great, great Christmas. Let us know what you got in our DMs because we'll respond. Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. Have a great Christmas if you celebrate. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are. The one who goes like, buy more.
Buy more stuff. Wrong quote.
Buy more stocks. Eat people.